Way back in the early 20-teens, a city fella from Minnesota and a wannabe cowpuncher from small town Iowa came together to swap tall tales over the airwaves. They made lots of friends along the way, but even more enemies. By chance, they made acquaintance with a sodbuster from over the other side of the county, who felt obliged to butt in on their little show and give them the what fors from time to time. After nigh on a decade of pointless blathering, one thing led to another, and they were unceremoniously tossed out on their ear from their little radio show. Eventually, this ragtag group found their way back together and decided to start a little podcast we like to call Dutch by Association.
All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It's the 23rd episode of the Dutch by Association podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Barahona. Along with me, as always, are my good friends and co-hosts, Aaron Alonz and Mitch Geese.
It's 2021, and in a new year, we're looking for some new sponsors. Previous sponsors of the DBA pod have indicated that they have an increase of tens of sales after advertising on the DBA pod.
Not enough
you
to re-up,
too. But you too. But we are seriously looking for some sponsors. We will talk about you multiple times, and promises will make promises upon promises. Don't know what for, but...
Hey, Dutch by Association is also brought to you by Super High Tech. The owners of Super High Tech are too lazy to come up with a quirky sales ad, so I am sure Mitch will say something dumb. And you can expect the exact same level of effort with your technology problems as was put into writing this ad copy if you come do business at Super High Tech.
No, I actually care about that.
Oh, okay.
That's probably why he didn't actually get to writing this, was because he had...
Had actual work to
busy,
do.
Too busy. But
he had time to call me dumb, but yeah, cool.
I'll always have time for that, Mitch.
You'll make time for that.
I will. Right? I will sacrifice time to make sure that we we can do that. But boy, it's been... It's
4 been weeks, 5 weeks?
It's been over a month since 7 we've weeks. Been here. And have eaten... Yeah, was that... Did we have COVID after that? Did you?
I had.
Yeah, you had COVID, and that's what we were waiting on.
That screwed us up. Well, I thought I had COVID, and I quarantined, and I think that was before our last show, and then I actually had COVID and quarantined, and that whole rigmarole. Thankfully, well, you're the last one.
You know, I'll be that guy. You know, I was kind of sick back in...
Yeah, yeah, I said that too, and then I actually got it, so...
Donate some blood.
We could listen back to one of those podcasts where you talked about all your prognostications about the virus and then...
What prognostications were those?
It's not going to affect me. I'll be fine.
It really didn't.
Except for you had a highly communicable disease that...
Yeah, which is why I followed all the guidelines and stayed home and quarantined and everything.
All the guidelines. Followed all of them, I'm sure.
I did.
Did you isolate your own bedroom and your own bathroom?
Can you imagine?
There are sliding things under the door.
There are people that have tried to do that, and I just...
As far as the Sheldon School District knows, then yes, I never saw my children for the 10 days that we were in the same house together. But, no, we did our best to not, you know, be hugging it out or whatever, but, yeah.
Hugging it out? Are they your bros?
Shut up, man. Focus on the dumb stuff I say.
Never mind.
Okay, to the serious.
You shut up, man.
We're glad you're back and healthy, and it didn't affect you because you're strong.
I'm, yeah.
I didn't say that. Thanks, Aaron.
And Aaron, his life as usual was uninterrupted. Did the same thing.
Same thing every day. Except we had Christmas and New Year's in here. So I didn't do the same thing every day. No, we went to Rochester, Minnesota. Yeah. Boy, did we get the looks from the Minnesota people.
What was it like to leave Iowa for the first time?
What's it like out there?
It was odd. Yeah, it was really a lot of time sitting and then reading. And
you know how to live, man.
Visiting.
Listening to you talk, I'm reminded of the tweet that we got this morning as... Lydia Hansen, who's a writer for Iowa Information.
I want to know, which one is she listening to? Like number one, or did she jump in the middle?
She described the podcast to her parents as, quote, if someone made a podcast of mom talking to farmer neighbors one and two in the driveway about kids, dogs, weather, and other neighbors, etc., except it's three guys from Sheldon.
I want to know which one is mom. It's got to be Wayne. Yeah,
obvious.
I'm actually taking that as a compliment because Wayne has called both of us fake farmers, but apparently we sound like real farmers on our podcast.
Yeah.
At least when it comes to BSing about nonsense.
And what's great is that Lydia pulled up the same time I did, and I was like, oh my God, are you going on the podcast too? Because like, you know, because her tweet was this morning.
Yeah,
like,
that was this morning.
Oh, snap.
That, of course, is the familiar sound of our good friend Ty Rushing, who we've invited back for one last hurrah. If we did it for Mark, the least we could do was do it for you. As
yeah, we felt obligated. We didn't really want you here, but
we said never again. But
I'll take the pity appearance and whatever.
And it's, you know, Ty is leaving Northwest Iowa. Not only that, he's leaving journalism. You know, so for all of the times that Ty talked about the importance of local journalism and the importance and lack of journalists out there, he is a sellout and will no longer be a journalist by trade. So that's...
What kind of a jackass wants to better themselves and make more money and work less hours?
Well, come on. You're supposed to do that kind of stuff for free. It's a labor of love, right?
Yeah. I mean, I hate to leave journalism. Like, and especially 2020 was like a pretty monumentous year in my career, too. Like, I did a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of stuff. Wrote 300 something articles across the four publications, you know, helped do Kids Corner right when the pandemic hit, you know, and got more local people, local kids involved in news, you know, spoke to college classes everywhere. I still have my regular job shadows pre-COVID and like, you know, got to do my annual talk with Sheldon Middle School for like the fifth year in a row. So like, it was just a crazy year. And then like awards came out. I got it. My name's on a bunch of them. And so hopefully the Wagners let me get some.
I was going to ask you about that.
They won't invite you back.
I know. Dude. That's like, I was like, hey, if you guys do something for the ceremony, you know, let me know. Because they're doing a live stream this year. So I'm like, if you guys have like a watch party,
I'd
like to come.
It's BYOB. But yeah, you can come.
Yeah, I'll take that. I can afford booze now.
Well, we'll get into...
Everybody else there would be jealous while they're sipping their Natty Light.
Just show up in the fur with Kraft. I make my own six-pack, like not even the $99.99 version, just like the whatever the price on the bottle is version.
That's right.
Oh, I didn't even bother to look. I don't know.
It said $20. I was like, give me another one.
I just haven't even seen you guys since, really, for... I think I've seen you both once in the 4 or 5 weeks we've been off, and but broke my foot. That was fun.
Yeah,
that was the thing.
You still have your boot on?
No,
I didn't look.
I'm boot free this week, so.
So, well, you think you broke your foot. Self-diagnosed broken foot.
Yeah, but.
With a borrowed boot.
I got a guy that's got a boot. I got a boot guy, so.
What I don't understand is why you didn't. You brought Reggie to the vet. That would have been a perfect time to ask for a $20 x-ray.
So $400 flipping later, I spend on doggy dental work on my half-blind diabetic dog.
I just want to reassure you that it would be five times that if you'd done that on your daughter. Just, does that provide any comfort?
You should take her there for dental work. I think is what he's
wouldn't do it for dental work, but I would do it for antibiotics.
So you
x-rays.
Guys do orthodontics because they're coming in a little crooked. I don't know,
man. My dog would have taken a visit to Aaron's farm because you paying that.
Well, no. You say that. You say that. You don't have a wife and kid at home with the big eyes. But that's Reggie. But no, I don't shoot the dog. I say, okay, let me go make those arrangements.
Oh, yeah, you just said that.
Instead of Christmas presents this year.
We get to enjoy at least one more month of a dog for $400.
But it wasn't like we were doing, we were actually doing it for very selfish reasons.
So it was just like a crown or a bridge what were they doing?
It's because his mouth smelled like absolute ass. Like,
so would they brush his teeth?
No, well,
for $400.
Well, this is how they played it. They said, okay, your dog definitely has got some dental issues going on, because I mean, you could smell him. It smelled like it was not pleasant.
Yeah.
Finally, I'm like, all right, we're taking this damn dog in because I can't. I just no. So we get to the vet, and the vet's like, oh my, yeah, we got an issue here. So we're gonna do a dental cleaning,
And it's a young guy over at the vet. I think he's a new guy. Like he looks like he's like right out of.
You got to be the new guy to have to deal with that shit. Oh, yeah. that's a new guy job if ever there was one.
But you know, bless his heart, he was very excited about. Yeah, no, we're gonna make sure Reggie's okay, and he's gonna. it's gonna be a night and day difference for him. Just you wait. And I'm like, so yeah, I wasn't the first question that I asked, but. Like, all right, how much are we looking at here? And he says, well, the dental cleaning is $225. It's going to increase if we have to take out some teeth, which I'm guessing we probably will, but I can't imagine. Maybe $350. So I bring him in the next day.
They talked you into the optional fluoride treatment, didn't they? Just like a real dentist.
What was? You know, there's 18,000 parts per million. That's way more than your toothpaste. Oh, yeah.
What was funny is
that $50.
As I'm looking over this two-page bill that they gave me, and of course I had to pay it before I left, so I couldn't be like, check's in the mail. Let's just see if the dog lives. Is there a return policy? No. I'm looking through the bill once I get home, and I just chuckled at the complimentary nail clipping.
Yes.
Yeah, I spent $450 on a dog, but clip a damn nail.
So this, that was very kind of them. The same vet, I'm confident, the same vet is who came out to our house and did about 2 hours worth of work with an assistant. They castrated some bull calves, dehorned a heifer, dewormed a couple animals, over 2 hours of work, $190. Thank you for keeping my bill cheap.
It's right.
I appreciate that. It's small animal care that helps us large animal guys.
Wayne's a yuppie living in a new house, so they're thinking, we'll charge whatever we
want. What's he going to do?
They come on my yard and feel sorry for the animals.
Well, although that is a good point. I had to pay on the spot. They probably sent you a bill.
They did. Yep. Small animal care. Before you get Reggie back, you pay. And for me, I get it in the mail. Yeah, it's true.
Wonder if there was an option where I could have just traded him for the bill. Have this dog. No, sir, that will add $200 to your bill. We have to dispose of him. But speaking of being disposed of, Ty is disposing of Northwest Iowa. We'll explain just exactly why that is right after this.
I wouldn't call it a technical school. It was a for-profit, two-year...
Radio
college school. Radio
But it's still...
Exploitation machine? Yeah, is that what you might call it?
Let's not throw in all the...
Hey, they had a Le Cordon Bleu program, so we got to eat good food every once in a while. So at least there's that, but... leaving bad tastes in the mouths of people. Ty Rushing, of course, here joining us on what is his one of his final days here in Northwest Iowa. You're officially done at the paper now.
You officially had your last day at West Iowa.
Oh, I'm still going to rep the brand, man. Like,
Are you?
Dude, I gave so many years of my life to that company. Like, I'm still going to rep the brand. Like, it's still in West Iowa.
I think they want a few of those years back.
Which, nah. They don't. They don't. But
yeah, you've been promoting journalism. And, you know, when I thought about it, it's like, in my mind, it's like when Forrest went for a run, like for 3 years and how many months, and everybody's buying into that run and wanting to follow and do it. Then all of a sudden, one day, Forrest just says, I'm done. I mean, isn't that. That's kind of what I thought maybe you did, was like you're inspiring these people to follow you into local journalism. You're talking to these kids in fifth grade. You're talking to these kids in journalism school at the universities and colleges, and they're all following Ty Rushing, running that 3 years and 2 months and whatever, and then you just decide, I'm done.
I kind of thought you would get run out of town, honestly. Was the direction I thought
I would go. Eventually, probably. You can still be an advocate for an industry, like big time, like... And I practice what I preach. I subscribe to papers. Like, you know, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. Like, I tell people to subscribe, and I do that, man. I pay a crap ton for the Kansas City Star every year. It hurts. Like, when every renewal notice comes up, you really think about it, but it's like,
well, it's probably 15% of your annual income.
Dude, it's
of what it was. I mean, now it'll be only 1 or 2%.
Yeah, maybe it won't hurt as much going forward, but like, you know, I still love newspapers. I still love journalism. Like, and I'm still going to advocate for that. I'm still going to support people. You know, I tell people all the time, like, you know, my DMs, man, I get kids all the time, or like even other professionals who want to talk to me just about the industry. Like, I'm going to do an interview on Thursday about Western Iowa journalism, just like my time in it. And, you know, so I can still be an advocate just from the outside. Like, it sucks to leave, you know, the industry, because like that's why I moved to Iowa. Like, mm-hmm. It'll be 8 years this month, and that's why I came up here. But, you know, I tell people all the time, that sign fields of opportunities is true. Like, my last three positions, I got recruited for. Like, I got recruited to go down to the Journal. I got recruited to come back to Sheldon, and now I'm going getting recruited to go back to the Sioux City area for my next, you know, phase of life. And, you know, that kind of speaks volumes too. Like, hey, that means you're doing, you know, the work you're doing, people are noticing it, and you know, people want to have you do that do similar work for them, and like they see your skill set and they recognize that. And so it's kind of nice to be recognized, and it's pretty humbling as well, because I just go out there and do what I do.
Yeah. And recently, like, the 2020 was a crazy year, as you've mentioned, as far as your professional career goes. I mean, you were on TV how many times?
Yeah, I don't even know, honestly. Like, I did 4 Iowa Press tapings, and then I did other, you know, like media interviews. You know, I was doing a lot of work with Iowa Public Radio. I did some other Iowa PBS stuff. You know, I did something with Kello, did something with some of the Des Moines TV stations, even did something with one of the Sioux City stations with Katie back in March. And I was like, March or April, and I was like, or May. It was May, because I was looking a hot mess.
Oh, yes, I can remember that hair.
It was rough, the man. It was so Kramer rough.
Dude, you had going on there.
No, it wasn't the Kramer. It was like when I had the fro, like early on in the pandemic. Yeah. Barbershops hadn't opened up yet, mm-hmm. And I was looking, man, it was rough, because I'd been like 3 or 4 months without a cut. And so that was bad. And then, but I, you know, I've done so much other stuff this year too, like in addition to all of that. And then I'm still doing my day job on top of all those other things.
You mean they don't say, Ty, we'll take a couple stories, we'll take a couple responsibilities off you.
You take some plays off.
Since you're going to go down to Des Moines and record, we'll let you have some other stuff off. They didn't do that.
Man, one day I had to drive back and come back and help with sports. Like, so like I went down Thursday night and came back Friday.
So the sports thing was real. You like, you didn't just say no, you couldn't hang out with us at 4:30 on Friday afternoon.
Buddy, how do you think you get 17 schools in the paper the next day? And then with basketball, it's 2 teams. So it's like,
well,
up to 34
teams. What else is
teams.
Scott doing all week?
Well, he's covering the rest of the week.
Oh.
You got to think about it. That's just the Friday night action. I'm just kidding. Yeah. That's
not- so what part are you going to miss the most? The headline puns?
Oh, you know I'm going to miss headlines. And like,
some of us will.
Whatever, man. I remember your hashtag make headline series again. I was like, whatever, Wayne. But here's the kicker, though. 3 of our 4 papers are up for best headlines this year.
Oh.
And Guess which 3? It's the 3 I help with.
Uh-huh. Hmm.
So, are you going to claim those headlines as your own?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm claiming them. You know I'm claiming them. I mean, because
did any of them involve me?
If it was involving, I'm sure the chickens got it. Yeah, up there. I'm sure. Yeah.
Pandora's coop.
Have I told you about the chicken stories? The chicken stories are going to win 2 awards.
Gosh,
best continuing coverage and best coverage of agriculture. Yes. So we'll find out in February.
This is how you know an organization has run out of Des Moines, when this is agriculture.
Here's the thing. Iowa doesn't judge itself. It's judged by out of state.
Uh-huh. Oh, so that's New York.
So no, that's like, and that was like kind of a nice thing, because it was like, and actually wasn't even going to submit it for coverage of agriculture, but I was reading the criteria again. I was like, wait, it was like, you know, city issues involving livestock counts. I was like, well, mm-hmm. I may have something there.
I know that you had amassed quite a Twitter following, especially during the times that you were reporting on the chicken issue. And so I would roll into a council meeting, you know, getting ready, just dreading having to go and talk about this stupid issue. And there's Ty, like, oh man, I can't wait. I got 15 tweets pre-written. All I got to do is just change the names and hit send. Like, oh yes. It's game day. Game day.
Like, no, he's not exaggerating. Like, I'd be over the side, like at the desk, like, yeah. I'm like, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Especially if I knew it was going to be a chicken meeting or a crafting meeting. I'm like, oh, hell yeah. Like, yes. And last year it was like the lane building meetings. I'm like, give me some of that. Like, We have such interesting issues here in Sheldon, and like I am super gonna miss covering
interesting
that, I mean, is that, are we that different than anywhere
well,
else?
Well, here's the cool part. It's like if you follow other local journalists, you see that other towns are kind of ridiculous as well.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel a lot better, because I'm like, sometimes I'm like, damn, is Sheldon just that weird? And
I'm like, yeah it is.
But you know, it is like one of the best descriptions someone said was like Ben Kaplan. He lives in Cedar Rapids. He's like, you know, from your tweets, like it feels like Sheldon is made up entirely of Farley Brother characters.
Yeah.
Was it Farley Brothers? Like
Coen Brothers.
Coen Brothers characters. And I was like, oh my God, that is so accurate. Like, it's so true, because we got characters here, man. We got some characters.
Season 5 of Fargo.
Oh,
looking forward to it.
Listen, if they bring me in that writer's room, I'm like, we're doing Sheldon. Like, Sheldon will get its own season, and it will be amazing. Like,
so there's got to be a couple.
Cold open. Marv Van Riesen opens the refrigerator door.
Hey, did you watch season 4 yet?
Yeah, they
focused on the KC mob.
I know.
I feel like, you know, maybe they infiltrated the paper or something up here, and that's their involvement. That's how we get into Sheldon.
Maybe.
Do you have any mafia background?
I do not. Oh, I do not. Right. I mean, you guys do.
What?
Cargo shorts mafia.
Oh, yeah.
We don't talk about that. And you don't talk about it. It's
called Omerta, the code of silence.
You know how RFK challenged, like, I think it was the New York mob? That's going to be me with the cargo shorts mafia. Like, I'm just going to be preaching from the sidelines until I take it down.
Or get brought down.
Yeah, I know. Like, God. Oh, man. I just remember RFK's ending.
You were able to have some closure with the relationship with fake Bob VP.
Oh, man, that was wonderful that he did that Q&A. And then, like, when Real Bob shared it.
You didn't know who shared Real Bob's?
Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz re-shared it.
Ted Cruz retweeted
it,
too.
Where were you?
I don't know.
Even I saw this go down.
Well, I didn't see Ted
Cruz. Why didn't you guys tell me this stuff?
Yeah.
Ted Cruz retweeted Bob Vanderplaatz's retweet.
Fake Bob.
A fake Bob.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. This really happened. Yes. So this really happened.
Which will probably be the only time that Ty Russian gets retweeted by a Republican. But
I'll get all the time. So, like, Iowa GOP has retweeted some stuff from me all the time.
Well, the state level people are at least not, most of them are not career politicians. It's when you get to that federal level that you get the J.D. Schultons of the world. I was kidding, JD. Well, he didn't listen to us anyway. We established that
we're not even his top three.
Right. Man, I was like, Aaron was like, what? Like, I saw you call him out on that. I was Aaron.
All the free publicity. You know how many votes he probably got from that?
Yeah, at least
one.
He
got
tens of votes.
Unfortunately, it wasn't quite enough to overcome. But I would have really liked to have claimed responsibility for a win. Said, you know what, Aaron, came on here and
Aaron was told by a couple of his friends that if Schulten would have won, it would have been on him, and he would have
my safety would have been
had to answer for that.
Which would have been kind of amazing. Like, it would have been like, oh snap, like that really happened. But
especially this past year with no other Republican seats being lost, if JD would have won, that would have been CNN here.
Oh yeah. But and Feenstra, though, like, you going up against a creative player in terms of, like, you know, a conservative Republican candidate, like, you know, he's the guy that's going to check all the boxes, mm-hmm. and he's got a record to back it up.
Have you found it a struggle as a journalist to separate your beliefs and ideals from the story?
Like, I, for the news side, like, because, like, that's the way I was trained, you know? Sure. Like, they kind of get that, they instill that into you young. And that's why, like, some things, like, all right, I'm just going to write this as a column versus a news piece. And, like, I feel like, I mean, if you saw, like, my farewell column, you saw people on both sides of the aisle sharing that, because I've always believed in giving people fair coverage. Right. Like, you know, I'm going to take you at your worst for something. I'm still going to look into it. I'm still going to present facts. Or, like, if there's, like, you say this, I'm going to look into, you know, what that little tidbit is and make sure that it's accurate, or, you know, like, to provide some extra clarity to it. And so, like, I've treated everyone fairly and, you know, done my job. And so that's why it's kind of like, you see, I have good relationships with people everywhere. Like, you know, you see the former Iowa GOP Republican chair, like, hey, man, good luck. You know, you see Randy Feenstra giving me a shout out.
Yeah.
You know, you see, I used to do monthly calls with Grassley. Like, and so, you know, like, when you got people, because, you know, everyone says, like, oh, the liberal media. But then you see me, I'm working with people on both sides of the aisle and getting respect and giving respect to both people on sides of the aisle. Like, that's, yeah.
So being a journalist is obviously, that's a part of your being. It's kind of your identity. Did you feel like there was maybe, it would kind of be a, you feel conflicted versus, you know, topics that you felt passionate or being an advocate about versus the journalistic side that wanted to maintain an air of neutrality?
Well, even like for example, like Black Lives Matter. Like for me, I've explained this before on this show. Like, you know, that's beyond, you know, what I do. Like, no matter what I do, I'm still going to walk around black and I'm still going to have the challenges that go with that. And so, like, advocating for that, I didn't feel like stepped over my journalistic line, but there's never been too many issues where I'm like, okay, I got to take a firm, you know, personal stance on this because, like, I just can't, you know, fathom writing about it.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're, now that you're removed from the journalism seat, that you'll explore any other avenues that would be more, opinion-based versus just disseminating facts? Because you've had access to facts for years and years and years, yeah. but you've never really gotten too many platforms where you can actually talk about how it affects you and your interpretation of it. Is that right. something
well
that
I mean that's do? What I've done with my columns, you know, like not the like take fives, but like my actual column side takes, and I've done that on some things, but like you got plenty of people talking heads on political issues, you know, like I'm not interested in really being too much of a pundit in that area. Like, what I want to write, like, if I get more writing opportunities, and there's been some talks, like, I want to do more stuff that I like doing, like, fun stuff. You know, like, hey, there's a new restaurant, or hey, why you don't know about this restaurant, and it's awesome. Like, I want to do that kind of stuff and, you know, share misadventures and things like that. I mean, and obviously, there's a time to be serious when they're, you know, like, sometimes, like, something speaks to your heart, and that's when you want to write about it, which I've done. But, like, that's not really who I am. Like, I'm not this, you know, like, oh, man, I'm obsessed with politics 24/7, you know, kind of guy. And that's, you know, I'd be, like, forcing myself into that role if I took that route. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's some stuff I'm like, okay, I want to write about this and express, you know, my viewpoint on it. But I couldn't imagine doing that every single week.
Mm-hmm. You've, in this past year, I'd say you probably have had more more vocal and video coverage of you than you probably ever have.
Yeah.
How would you say, did you like it? Did you like doing more than just the writing? Did you feel uncomfortable, or did you just kind of do it because you know it supported your habit?
You know, it was kind of like, I didn't really get nervous about it, really, because, you know, I'm used to being, like, I like public speaking, man. I did debate and forensics in high school. Like, you know, I was captain of the debate team, in fact, you know, putting that out there. That's right. That's how I'm nervous.
Where's your Letterman jacket?
Oh, no, I know. It's kind of, you get one, too. No, I'm just playing. But, yeah, so, like, you know, public speaking has always been something that I've been interested in. And then I looked at it, too, as a way, like, hey, you know, we're a small rural publication. I'm helping us get some extra light and focus. And, like, that's how we got some of those, like, the reviews always had out-of-state subscribers, like, always, you know, because of, you know, just, like, people who were from here and they move away and they know they want to get comprehensive coverage, that's where you go to. And so, but we were getting some more, and people were, like, specifically shouting me out, like, you know, just from following me on Twitter, like, hey, you know, we want to support Ty, we want to support his paper, you know, he says subscribe. And so I was like, oh, hell yeah. And so, like, I looked at it as another way to kind of help promote the publication and community journalism as a whole. And so, like, yeah, because I got some people who, like, you know, some young people who are like, hey, I want to go into this, man. Like you guys kind of pointed out, like, I inspired some people to do this. And, like, and that's like, humbling, man. That's incredibly humbling because, like, you know, seeing somebody's name on a byline, like, that you talked to a couple of years ago in a class, and then you're like, holy crap, like, I had that influence. Like, and that's how you kind of feel. Like, I kind of get, how, like, why teachers do what they do, because, you know, I'm in constant communications with one of my old high school teachers who was, like, kind of gave me my first taste of journalism. And she's, like, my biggest supporter. And so, like, I can only imagine how she feels. Like, I'm just so happy that, you know, she helped guide me and, you know, let me do yearbook and let me take these photos and let me write articles for Literary Mag and those sorts of things. And, like, look where those skills took me. And look at that, those opportunities. Like, look what they gave me down the line. And so, like, I'm kind of hoping that I'm able to do something similar with all the people I've gotten a chance to speak to.
So have there been any notable moments, specific moments that stick out to you that you felt were most noteworthy or maybe that affected you personally?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Like, dude, I've cried on coverage, like, or like during an interview before, like multiple times, like probably less than a dozen overall over 8 years, which is not bad. But you can't help but get emotional during some of those, like, interviews or covering some of those things, like when I covered the former fire chief's funeral. When they did the final call, oh man, I'm over there. I'm weeping, dude. I'm at the cemetery weeping. Like, members of SCAT had to hand me Kleenex, like, and they knew the guy. Like, I never actually worked with him, but like, it was just so emotional. And then especially after sitting on the service and hearing all these stories about him and seeing, like, you know, his family right there mourning him, and then you're just right there with him, and like, they gave, you know, I was the only one allowed to go to the cemetery to be a part of that. And so, like, you know, you don't take those privileges for granted. And so, like, just being in that moment with them, it was like super touching. And then I did a story about the couple from Sutherland who the entire family got caught COVID, and the wife was in a coma, like, and he was the husband was in her, like, Chris, I was talking to him while he was right next to Bridget's side in the hospital in ICU in Omaha. And he's telling, and I was like, you know, he's like, where do you want to start? I was like, man, tell me everything. Like, how'd you guys meet? Like, how'd you fall in love? Like, I want to know everything. And I want to, you know, because I want a human. I want to, you know, I want to put the human face on this, because I had been trying for months to get anybody to talk to me about COVID or what their experience, what it was like in Norfolk style. And he was the first person. And that was like, what, 10, maybe like, or like 6 or 7 months into the pandemic, I finally got somebody who was willing to talk to me about it. And he put it all out there for me, too. And, like, you know, really made it real. Like, I was already kind of real to me because I've lost people to it back home and across the country. But, like, I wanted our readers to also get that, you know, like, to get that sense. And, you know, I also wanted to share this story because it was just, like, crazy. It was, like, so touch and go because, you know, like I said, she was unconscious when we were doing the interview. And we had to keep looking, you know. I was in Des Moines, but, like, we were, like, you know, I was calling my editor back and forth to make sure she was, you know, still alive before we went to press, just to make sure the story was accurate as possible. And she's up and conscious now. Like, I still text with the guy and he still gives me updates. I'm like, and that's the kind of stuff people don't know. Like, you still keep up with your sources, man. Like, and people still keep up with you. And that's amazing. Like, I got an email a couple of months ago from a girl. She was a girl. Now she's a grown woman who's married in Newton. And so I did a story about her when she got the Matthew Shepard scholarship, her senior year, $40,000 scholarship to any Iowa university. And I did the story on her. It was like, I was in my first year. I was like maybe 4 months into being in Iowa. And I was like, oh man, this is an awesome story. Cause, like, you know, you got to work hard to get that scholarship. And you guys know Matthew Shepard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was a young man that got beaten to death for being gay in Idaho. And his family had this, you know, set up the scholarship fund for him. And so, yeah, I did that story and it was all kind of blowback. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, I'm like, gay marriage is legal in Iowa. It was like the first thing to legalize it. And my editor was like, well, it was done in the courts and not by a vote. I was like, oh. And so, well, you know, I'm like, whatever, man. This is an awesome story. It's an awesome accolade. And I wrote a column the next week, doubling down, defending her. And I ended it with a quote that I didn't fit in the story, but it was still a good quote from her, from Ella. And so the next time I saw her mom, she was a teacher in the district in Newton. She ran up to me, just gave me a big hug, like, before we could even say anything. And, like, that moment right there, like, you talk about, like, getting emotional or, like, feeling like you did your job right and did your job correctly. It was, like, stuff like that. And so now this was 7 years ago. Like, it's going to be 8 in May. A couple of months ago, I got an email from Ella who's like, hey, I'm married now. Me and my wife live in Lincoln. You know, I love to hang out with you. And, you know, just thank you for what you did. She's like, I go back and read your story that you wrote all the time. Like, when I was feeling my lowest, I went back and read that piece and it kept me going. And bro, I ugly cried. Like, I sat there and ugly cried reading that email because it's like, you don't realize, like, you think what you're doing is important and you hope other people feel that way. But, like, getting a message like that lets you know how truly important it is and, like, what a difference you can make in someone's life, you know, just by doing your job.
You've written however many stories, however many headlines. Is there one? Is there a single one that you could point to and say that this has been my favorite?
Okay, are we talking Justin Sheldon or are we talking my entire career?
Well, we can do either. Or
okay.
Both.
Okay, so my entire career, my favorite story is probably the column I wrote on black barbers or just black business in Sioux City. And I wrote that it was for the business page in the journal, but I wrote it as a column because, like, I wanted to share my experience with that, like, a challenge of, like, hey, trying to find a barbershop as a black man in rural Iowa. It's real. Yeah. And so, and then I, you know, focused on him, focused on another business and another business. And so it was kind of cool to be able to tell that story because, like, no one else could have told that story at the journal. Like, no one. And so it was great for me too, because it was like one of the first few times I actually got to write a story that was, like, you know, black in its essence. And that was pretty neat. And that was a pretty good opportunity. So, like, that story is always going to be one that stands out. And then, like, as silly as it sounds, one of my favorite stories from up here was when I got to play Pokemon Go.
Oh yeah, that was a thing for a while.
No, summer 2016, like that was like the highlight of 2016 is playing Pokemon Go. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh.
It was just great because like I didn't even assign myself that, like, you know, not that I could have because I was a staff writer then, but like they were like, hey, we want you to go, you know, we know you're a Pokemon guy, so go out there and play Pokemon. And
you seem like a huge nerd.
Oh, dude, my nerdness is out there. You guys know this. Yes. And so I'm like, you want me to play Pokemon? all right. Hey, twist my arm. Why don't you? So that was another favorite one. Like, and then like in terms of serious stories, a serious one that kind of sticks out with me is when Josh Harrell and I went to the South Dakota State Penitentiary, State Prison. For a story with the Dort Prison Ministry, the Dort Prison Ministry. So that took months to set up.
Really?
Yeah, that took months to set up, and like we had to like give them an itinerary, saying every single thing we would be bringing in with us, like however many batteries he would need for the camera, how many batteries I would need for the recorder, the size of them, like, you know, how many pins, like all that kind of stuff. They wanted specific details, and so you go in there. You know, they do the pat down again. You go through the metal detector, and then before you go in, they give you this thing like the size of a pager with a pin in it. And they're like, hey, if you get in trouble, pull this. Oh. And that's going to alert the guards. And I was like, oh. I was like, oh, snap. And so, you know, they give you that, and then you walk through, and it's like the door closes, and you're like, oh my God, I'm in the prison. Like, and so it was wild. And so then I did some of the interviews before the church sermon started because we were going to fellowship with them. Like, that's what the students were going to do. And we were going to document that. And so I was interviewing some of the guys, and, you know, we're talking about, you know, like, hey, why is the prison ministry so important to you? Why do you do this? Like, you know, how did you find your faith in prison? That sort of thing. And then, you know, we went to church. Like, you know, Josh was going around shooting pictures. Like, I'm hanging out with some of the guys I just met. Yeah, we're just worshiping, doing a church service together. And then we all went to Culver's after because, you know, this is the Midwest. I started looking up some of the guys I was talking to, and I was like, oh my God. Like, cool. Double murder. Okay. And it's like, dang, and I was just singing Jesus songs with you. All right. But, you know, that's one of the, like, the experience that I wanted, and just writing a story, because we did what they call a double book. So we had the story and then like the spread in the middle of the paper of like all of Josh's photos. And so that was just like such a cool and amazing experience. Like, you know, like, I mean, how many people can say they went to church with like murderers for a story? You know, and it's like being able to do that kind of level of journalism, you know, even in a small community paper was like fantastic. And I love that.
So will you have anyone that will take on the legacy of chicken journalism?
Lydia wants it. Like, Lydia wants it, man. Lydia loves that kind of stuff. Like, this is her jam. Like, she's clamoring for the chicken drama. Like,
she sees your accolades and said, I can do that.
Dude, yeah. Like, she, like, what thing that stood out about her when we were interviewing her is like, she wants to be a community journalist. Like, that's what, like, she's after. And like, she's so fantastic. Like, she's such a good hire. Like, oh man, we couldn't believe it when we interviewed her. Like, her energy and, you know, like her willingness to just take on any assignment. I mean, like, I'd be like, hey, there's a dude standing outside apparently playing musical instruments and is with no shirt on. Go check that out. And she's like, all right. You know, it's just not like, what? Why do I got to do this? She's like, all right, cool.
Yeah, you willingly sicked her on Kevin Kraft.
Well, because like, if I recall correctly, my editor was gone that week. So I had to like kind of be the man in the chair. Uh-huh. And I couldn't go myself because, you know, I would have went.
We know what, you would. You
didn't. What did you call him? The most interesting man in Shelby?
Yes. Oh, like the Dos Equis commercial.
I hated that. I will tell you that now.
I like that we can have this out in the open now.
I knew. I figured it was like some people were like, but
some people.
Entire town of Sheldon was like,
Now it's like, oh, dude.
I know we're boring, but he's not the most interesting guy here.
Don't add fuel to the
fire. I beg to differ. Like,
well, so, maybe I can throw a bunch of trash in my yard and take the title away. I don't know. What do you think?
But can you also get a YouTube channel with your random musical stuff and all this other thing?
I can play instruments poorly.
Are you going to get a taxidermy coyote?
If someone's putting it out for garbage.
For garbage, yeah.
Like, and it didn't, like, I didn't realize until like the last set of photos before it got cleaned up that it was two pianos on a yard. And I was like, how the hell did he get two pianos here?
He doesn't have a job.
I know, but still, even without a job.
Very heavy.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at.
He doesn't have a pickup.
We thought it was a big deal when dueling pianos came to the pavilion. Hell, he's got them in his yard.
So I want to know personally, Ty, would you or would you not, if you were the king of Sheldon, allow chickens in town? Where do you stand on the issue?
Wow. So, wow. Yeah. Oh, no, my God.
You can finally take a stand.
Yeah, please. All right. Tell Wayne he's an idiot and that chickens are fine.
You know what, man? I'm going to go pro chickens.
Yes. Of course you do. You live in an apartment. Of course you're going to.
I'm going to go pro chickens, man. Well, Christine Ryder has some great points where she was like, I've had chickens for a dozen years and nobody's known.
And that is fine.
What?
I'm so glad we can spend more time on this.
I hate you guys.
But thank you, Ty. You can now have another one of my beers.
But unfortunately, I don't think she's the norm. I think she's the exception about a proper animal husbandry in town. And I know Christina. I think she does a great job. That's not a problem. But that's not
what everyone's going to do.
Yeah, and that's not the ones that we're focusing on.
Don't take that from him, Ty. Say, no, you're wrong, Wayne.
I honestly couldn't tell him he's wrong on that, but like, it's because I know folks here, and we got some ridiculous people.
I gotta tell you that.
Imagine if Crafton had chickens.
They have plenty.
Well, that might not be exotic enough. Peacocks or some other BS.
Well, they would probably
Can you eat their eggs? You don't specifically mention.
Do
you say fowl or do you specifically say chickens now that we don't allow it?
I kind of want
because
to have a
I feel like there's
now.
A workaround. What? How about mink?
Can we just?
What do you think
stop.
Of a mink farm?
Just stop.
No. Like Kevin Kraft's peacock farm would be a tourist attraction. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
People would drive around for miles around to come see this.
We need to rezone it, but I'm sure Wayne could facilitate that.
Well, he's got a nice open lot now.
Yeah, it's not mine. Not mine.
Well, in a roundabout way.
It's all
I mean,
ours.
Someday when we sell that lot for big money, we'll recoup that expense, I'm certain, as a city.
Woo! All right! Now that wraps up segment two.
All right, well, Wayne has to go punch a hole in the wall to relieve some anger, so we'll be back in a minute with segment three.
Yeah, this is how I know I'm getting old.
You remember the fin. You remember the fin as a staple.
Well, you remember, if you talk to any of the seasoned veterans around here, they that building used to be this, and that building used to be this, and before this it was that, and so on and so forth. Now I'm able to actually follow a lineage of many of these different buildings.
You probably have been here long enough you ate at Poochie's.
No. Come on.
Did you ever have pizza at the movie theater?
No, it was burned down by the time I got here.
Dude,
I got here in
03.
Yeah.
Like, cool stuff burns down. Like, that's Sheldon's story.
Sometimes accidentally.
I don't even know.
Are you questioning that one, too?
Hey, there were...
The old greasy
rags. Yeah.
Well, at least they had the decency to do it in the middle of the night, not usher everybody out of the business and then light the place
on fire. The fire department really wish they didn't do it on the 20 below zero night.
Made
for some great photographs.
Well, if you really want to torch the place, though, that's a good way because at 1 a.m. on a 20 below night, every fireman's like, son of a, my pager's going off, really? I'm not saying they intentionally move a little slower, but you're just naturally not going to be in this big of a hurry, are you? Right? I mean, I can't blame them.
It'd be one thing if it was like, an orphanage is on fire. Yeah, that'd get you going, but it's like, the theater.
Okay, well, we'll let it get a good start.
Pizza Ranch. Theater / pizza ranch.
Just got done showing Jaws 2.
Man, I'm jealous I never got to go to that original theater.
I know,
I heard it was like you can have the pizza, be on the balcony.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can drink beer.
Get a beer. Like, I'm like, damn, man.
Yeah, Sheldon was ahead of its time.
Yeah. Way ahead of its time. Because now that's what everybody's converting to.
Right.
Yeah, do you think we'll ever actually... The movie theater will come back like what it used to be. I don't know. I mean, I think
with
all the release to home stuff that's happening,
it's only a matter of time.
I think if
Disney
still does theaters, then because Disney kind of controls the movie market. Like, so
they just released Soul.
Right.
Correct.
And that movie's awesome, by the way.
I gotta watch it.
Yeah, it's really good.
If you haven't seen it, we've watched it twice now.
Oh, man, I gotta check it out. But like, because like, you know, WB saying what we're going to do, it's like, all right. But like, you look at their slate, it's like,
yeah, but most of those were going to the $5 right. bin directly yeah. anyway. So, like,
well, Christopher Nolan's movie, Tenet, was supposed to be like the big savior.
Bombed. Yeah.
And it, yeah.
Because well, like, people were like, do I want to risk my life for this?
Yeah. And so then you've got like here in town, Kroll takes over Main Street.
Oh, that sucks for them.
So just like the worst time.
Worst time. And he's such a nice dude and his family's like nice. Yeah. And it just sucks for them because like literally the worst time he could have taken over. Literally. Like he got in before, he got that Star Wars money at least. But then after that.
I would love to help keep them afloat. You know, I would love nothing more than to take my family to a movie every single week. But when it's half as much as my mortgage to do that, well, it's not that bad.
Boy, it's way more affordable than like Sheldon. Like actually, a popcorn it's actually, Sheldon.
It's not that
like,
bad.
If I'm in like a Sioux City, I'm like I'm sticking
when, a when you got
in.
A when you got a family of four though.
Oh yeah,
and you're buying full price tickets and every, you know kids that want to grab every box of candy. It's boy, it's not an every week thing, you know.
See, this is why you're Dutch by association, because I'd have been like, nah, you ain't getting these snacks. Like,
and my kids, wife, myself, haven't been to the movie theater in years. I mean, I think the last time was we were maybe out in Colorado for something like six years ago.
You and I worked for the radio station, and part of the job was free movies at the movie theater.
You and got a free pass, and I did not use it even once.
I didn't. I used it
did
for...
Can you believe that?
My wife and I went to go see the... What's the sniper movie?
American Sniper?
That's the one.
Oh, I talked about going to that
Yeah,
one.
she was pregnant with Ava, and we wanted to go see that before she got too emotional and too weepy.
It's not really a tearjerker.
Well, no, it's
a mic drop.
Unless she has a soft spot in her heart for terrorists, but
no, but he, you know,
the ending,
yeah,
man.
I know.
Ending.
Oh, yeah. That part.
It was silent when I left. That like when I saw my show, whenever it was like silent when everyone left because it was just like, damn, like you knew it was gonna happen, but it's still.
I forgot that it completes the story of his entire life. Yeah. So it is a sad ending. Then.
Yeah,
Dick.
Sorry. I forgot.
I'm a politician, and I am already sick of politics.
But then you get people who declare their party and buck the trend and win, like the state auditor.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect him to win big again.
Yeah, well, that's always been like a race that you know have to say your party affiliation for. But like, and I've talked with him about this. Like, he kind of like you said, he bucked the trend. Like, you know, he launched his campaign at Sioux Center as a Democrat running for state auditor. And it was just like, wait, what? Like, the state auditor's race is actually going to be competitive?
One of my favorite
things. I actually know the candidates now. Like, well, I knew Mary Mosman, the predecessor, because, you know, that's my job. Like, I've worked with her for stories and investigations and things like that. And so it was kind of like surreal in a way that, you know, Rob Sand was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be, his people were like, hey, he's going to be a truly scrumptious in downtown Sheldon for a meet and greet event. I'm like, wait, people do that running for this office?
he's a bean counter.
Yeah, well, because that was the big controversy during that race is that he's not an accountant by trade.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
He's just an attorney.
That's right.
He's just an attorney.
Just an attorney who worked for
what
the AG's office.
Say
that's
if
all.
A plumber won. He's just a plumber.
I know.
That sounds maybe a little more.
Right, I know.
But what about his ideas? Great ideas.
That was like the big controversy in that race. And so I ended up calling the Iowa Law Library to get information on that for the story. And they're like, no, you don't have to be an accountant to run for this position. Like, you don't have to be in law enforcement to run for sheriff.
Right.
And we saw that in O'Brien County this year.
What are you doing?
Shame on you.
Bless her heart. She tried.
She has a good heart.
She has she does. She wouldn't be in the job that she's in if she didn't. But that.
She has a.
Getting in a little over your head for sure.
So, Rob Sand, my favorite thing is to follow him on Twitter when he posts things where he's. Because he has a lot of followers that are liberals because he's one of their leaders. And then he goes hunting. And he kills something.
Ooh.
And the comments
are like, I can't believe you killed that deer.
That's somebody's mother. Why can't you just get your deer meat from the store like everybody else?
I thought only Republicans killed things. No, you wouldn't know.
And so what's funny is like being a hunter is like what helped him in rural areas.
For sure.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And I remember Rob Sand was, I don't know if he was doing like an Ask Me Anything or something like that. And I just said to him, like, hey, because he followed me before I followed him because he followed you, Tom.
Yeah, the tie and, effect is what you guys call it, right?
I got the tie effect, yeah. So I'm like, yeah, he's got a blue check mark. I mean, that's or a white check mark now. But I said, hey, would you be interested in joining our podcast next time you're in town? He's like, oh, boy, I don't know the next time I'm going to be in town, but, you know, maybe we could do it on phone or maybe we could do Skype or something like that. I'd really love that. Da, 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 da. Like, it was like,
he means cow. That, too. Like, that's the thing about it. Like, and he then, actually means it.
And after that, I got followed by two other Democratic state senators. And I was just like, wow, if only the Republicans were this approachable.
And it's like, and you can be like, it's nothing wrong with interacting with people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's like the best part of that platform.
Especially like with what we do, it's not like, all right, here's how can
we're
I
never going to be a gotcha.
How can I lay the snare down and then get somebody to walk through the booby trap?
We weren't. I wouldn't say we went easy on JD. Some people thought we did because we didn't tell him that he's a liberal.
Yeah, and we didn't tell him, you know, you're going to hell, JD.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to hell.
Right, that's because that's like, our role. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, because I thought you guys asked fair but tough questions.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that means a lot coming
from you.
Yeah, I was like, damn, are you okay? I'm like, all right, I'll see you guys. Like, I was impressed with the question.
And I was impressed with JD as a
person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he was... I could have a beer with him. And I did.
And we did.
Yeah,
and we
sat
did.
In that very chair. I was not impressed with Aaron.
How come you didn't talk about our podcast on your New Year's Eve
countdown? Come on, Ty, stick up for me. I had a nice response.
It was kind of funny, but like he did give you guys a shout out after.
Because he DM'd him.
No. You posted it. He liked it. And then you text me and were like, so do you think that maybe JD... Like, you didn't really get what I was doing.
The next day, I was thinking back on it.
I
thought,
that's fine. I had a couple beers when I did that.
Well, no. First off, you were the one who told me to do it. Second, there was just a number, because obviously his followers are Democrat, and some of them can be very extreme. And so I had said, so the people that don't, are not understanding what I'm talking about, JD had posted he was doing
like, it's like his year rap list of like, you know, hey,
top three this or that. This and that.
Best book, best podcast, whatever.
And yeah, it was best podcast, and we weren't on the list. And so Mitch was the first one to find it and said, that son of a... How dare he? How dare he? And I said, and my response was, well, I don't think that, Congressman Shulton would be saying that. Because he would have had the DBA bump.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
Had our media worked. But then, so he's like, yeah, you should just respond back with your top three favorite political candidates. So after I posted our top three
politicians,
thank you,
which did not include JD,
yes,
but purposely included JD's opponents,
and Aaron's like, hey buddy, just so you know, this is a joke.
That's not how it went.
You should laugh, and then you should retweet us. I think it'd be funny. Hey, hope you're doing good. Miss you. Bye.
That's part of that tough but fair thing that we were talking about.
No, that's not how that went. So I DM'd him and said, you've got to respond to Wayne. You can't let him post that type of stuff and just walk free. So then that's when he retweeted what you had tweeted. And then that's where it took off with, you know, Nazis are Christians too.
Holy cow.
Whoa.
Wow.
Calm down. Oof. Yeah, there's a lot of people that take stuff pretty personal.
And it's always an anonymous account.
Yeah.
Though.
But like, now imagine my mentions for like covering stuff.
Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah. We get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's just a tiny taste of it, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. It was always kind of funny, too, because like, I would get yelled at about the chickens. It's like, dude, go yell at the council members. Three of them are on Twitter. Yell at them. Like, I don't control this. I'm just telling you what's happening.
But it's so the New Year's Eve countdown. Was that was the joking part of what we were talking about. But, you know, all these people talking about 2021, new year, it's going to change everything. I was kind of sick of hearing that, like, you know, we got to Happy New Year. Oh, it's over. The worst year ever. Best year of my professional and personal life. But you
best
feel
year
bad.
Of your personal life?
No, I shouldn't say that. But
I mean, new house.
New
broken
house.
Foot.
I spent money on a dog.
Yeah,
the same damn
this.
Dog. Maybe you're right. Maybe I should be a little more upset over 2020 than what you are.
I think you're being cynical. I think, you know, it's a new year. People have hope that their lives are going to improve. And, yeah, no, I don't think anybody really thinks flipping the calendar is going to change anything. It's just like, you know,
well,
what?
Everyone's excited.
This year has been shit sandwich after shit sandwich washed down with a shit sandwich. And then it's like, let's just move on. Let's just start fresh.
Tyren, one more thing before you go. What is your favorite memory of your time here?
My favorite memory of my time here. Oh, man, that's a good question. Honestly, just goofing off in the office with our team there, man. Like, the familiar feeling in that newsroom and in that office is real. And we got that open floor plan. So, like, you know, we'd have jokes. We'd do pun offs. You know, we got a quote board. We like some amazing stuff on there. And just like joking and that camaraderie, man, you know, people really look out for each other, take care of each other. Like, it's real. Something bad happens to one person, happens to everybody. And like, you don't get that everywhere you work. And that feeling is hard to replicate. You know, like before I came back here, there was another opportunity that I was pursuing and that I got an offer for, but didn't take because I came back here. I was like, oh, I don't want to go back to Kansas City. But it was like, it reminded me so much of how things were at IO Information because it was family owned. And just like having that kind of environment again, I was like, oh man, this is a big appeal. And so like, yeah, you can't replicate that kind of stuff, man. Like, cause we had so much fun and laughed so many times. Like, that was like a blessing, dude, just to be able to go to work and know you're gonna have fun and goof off and, you know, talk nerdy things about journalism and pop culture and, you know, be in that kind of environment. It's hard to replicate. And I'm privileged that I got to experience it and got to do it for like two different stints. Like, even with the revolving faces, we still had good people come in there. And then like the graphic side, you know, primarily stay the same. And like, but they always brought good people in. Like, the Wagners are very good about finding people. And so we always had great people to work with and, you know, do great things with. Like, and we all took pride in what we do, like work hard and play hard, you know, like that's kind of the thing about it. And so, yeah, it's hard to top that.
Ty, we're going to miss you. And, we look forward to hearing stories of your continued success. We look forward to having you back here and look forward to you begging and pleading your girlfriend to move out here and to seeing how that goes.
Fingers crossed, baby. Fingers crossed, man. Thank you guys for having me on, you know, from the last time as a, you know, resident of Sheldon.
Yeah,
and like you said, I'm game to come back always, of course.
You were supposed to write a story about us. Never did. So just,
well, that's how quickly things happen, man. Like,
don't care.
Don't worry. I will get Lydia on it.
That's good. She's already started, so
yeah.
She already knows her background work. She already knows how bland we are, so at least we don't have to convince her. We don't have to put airs on.
Like, oh man, because like, yeah, I was going to do it as a column since I've been a guest, and I was going to lead with that review.
Well, we thank you for you've left an indelible mark on Northwest Iowa, and it's all for the good, and we appreciate what you've done and look forward to watching your continued success. So thanks a lot, Ty.
Man, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. With that said,
join us again next time for another episode of Dutch by Association, a Northwest Iowa podcast brought to you by Super High Tech. The Christmas season is here. I don't know who the hell wrote this. The Christmas season is past.
I was in a hurry.
But I'm certain that Super High Tech did not sell every single thing in their store. And so
it's true. We got more.
If maybe your family's gathering late after the new year, you might need a gift yet.
Or it's the gift you didn't get.
The gift you didn't get. Stop by the stores in Sheldon, Orange City, and Sioux Center, or online at super-ht.com.
You can find us on the interwebs, DBA Pod. You can find that on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And coming soon to a website near you, dbapod.com. And until next time, we'll see you.